This is a Stand Up New York Labs production, providing you decent podcasts since 2013. Welcome to What a Time to Be Alive, the only podcast counting down everything this week that made you say, "What a time to be alive." And now, Patrick Monahan, Kat Barbadoro, and Eli Uden.
Hey, what's going on, folks? We are back with another episode of What a Time to Be Alive. I'm Patrick Monahan.
I'm Kat Barbadoro.
I'm Eli Uden.
How's it going, guys?
Hi, good.
I'm pretty glad. Good. Well, first of all, before I forget anything else, I had this first on my list because we didn't do it last week. Wanted to thank the golden voice boy who's the voice of our intro, Dan Chamberlain, one of the best dudes. He's super funny. He's a very talented mashup DJ as well.
Yeah, it's at AMFMPM is his Twitter.
That's
right?
Correct.
Yeah, very funny. Also, just a golden voice, that guy.
Yes.
Yep. He's in one of the best sketches I can think of that I've ever seen, which is the Your Days Of. Look it up. It's by Legs for Days on YouTube.
Okay. Yeah.
Anyhow, now before
we're really paying him an exposure here.
Well, hey, you know, I try to make it count. All right, fine. All right, so before we get into anything, I think it's worth, you know,
there's some bullshit online,
yeah,
that needs to be addressed.
This is a very funny way to start this because I thought we were gonna have to be like, before we get into anything, Eli and Kat, though, Patrick, an apology.
Yeah.
But it's like, no, before we get into anything, fuck all of you.
Yeah, you said, you were like, we're going to apologize. I was like, fuck, I am. I'm not gonna, this is crazy.
You know.
I thought it was done because, so we're talking about is the pronunciation of AIM, which is apparently an initialism and not an acronym, as like English teachers online are telling me, which, okay.
I do feel a little bad that we immediately shamed Patty and we're like, what are you talking about, AIM? Get the fuck out of here.
See, but that's the essence of it, is that it's crazy. It feels like some Berenstain Bears shit, where it's like, we both were like, yeah, it's AIM, and
yeah,
then the issue is settled, and then this upswell of fucking grassroots support comes out in the form of Twitter user Minders did a poll on what is the correct pronunciation, AIM or AIM, and AIM won 69%,
nice.
To whatever the rest of 100 is.
And classic.
Don't care. Not an important number.
Not a math teacher either.
Yeah, look.
If 69 is the nice number, does that mean 31 is like the least horny number?
31 is the reverse sex number? This is a huge...
It's the virgin number.
Yeah, 31 means never 69.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. We're making big discoveries.
That kind of makes sense because, like, if you think about it, like, the three sort of looks like a hand.
Or
like,
a butt, though.
Or a butt.
Or a butt. I was thinking it was like a hand grabbing a dick.
It's like a butt on an uncomfortable chair.
Yeah, yeah. Just a flat.
So or like a bird's eye view of boobs.
A butt. It's like a butt if someone's sitting just like flat on a cement ground.
Yeah, 31 is actually looking down.
Which is
down,
like very not
cleavage.
Horny.
There's a, he's on the Broncos now, but there was a tight end that played for Michigan. His name is Jake Butt. He's a tight end, and his number is 88, which looks like two butts. It's pretty fantastic. He tore his ACL. Sorry about that.
Jake.
But
yeah,
anyways.
Controversy.
Yeah, so we were in here last week, and I said it before we started recording, and then I just got roasted. You know, I referred to it as AIM, and I don't have like a firm memory of like, you know, saying it one way or the other, but it does kind of blend together in my mind, and I said it really fast, and I just kind of AM became AIM, and I guess I have said both, and I was immediately shamed, you know, and I had no one backing me up, and it turns out that it seems like most people agree with me, which I think is pretty wild.
You have a super majority.
You do.
But
also, someone replied, I can't remember her name, and I apologize. She said she worked for AOL Time Warner and that it's AIM. Like, that's what the company
said.
Yeah,
but that's
to which I say, don't fucking trust the bosses.
Yeah. What are you, goddamn. And also, that's like the guy who invented GIFs, and he's like, it's actually, I say GIF, and everyone's like, go fuck yourself.
That's true. That guy can fuck off.
Yeah.
That's true.
Like,
come on.
The thing is, but also, when we're discussing it online, I'm cheesed off. I'm fired up. No, all anyone would do would just not stop tweeting me words that fit their argument. And I'm like, that's not a real strategy. Also,
that's
the
true.
English language is
makes
so
no
fucked
sense.
Up that you can't just be like, well, like some of them I guess good, like CAT scan, like things like that. But I think It's got to be AIM. It's not AIM, and then it sounds like some sort of fucking military program. I don't know. I don't like it.
Well,
and I offer for everyone's consideration. Some of these are suggested. Some of these are from my own noodle. I only have two, actually. GOP and RIP. Nobody's going to the goddamn graveyard and going, ah, Mama, I love you so much. Rip. Rip, Mama.
Rip in peace.
Rip in peace, Mama. It's RIP, bitch.
People go to the, they just say RIP Mama. They go to the, that's what they do at the graveyard.
Just normal part of the grieving process. Yeah.
Thing you say to Mama, RIP. Yeah. Like, I miss Mama. You and I love you, RIP.
I grieve exclusively like a young Southern boy in overalls with one side undone. Yeah. Mama, miss you, RIP.
Hey, look, you raised me and all that, RIP, man. Yeah. We'll see you. Like, that's not even what you, that's, okay. So we put out the email address for the pod to get some more feedback, just because I wanted to see if I could run up the score a little bit.
That's right. It's time for the mail call.
Yep.
They've got mail.
All right. So we got a few here. I'm not going to read these because some of these are like pretty
very
long.
We're getting... Very. People had some stuff to say.
We hit on something that somebody has some real takes on.
People,
I'm not sure.
I think they were like, someone was like, I hope the podcast is exhaustive. And it's like, that's not how I operate anyways. Like, I'm like a dog where I get like, if I get really, really excited about something, then I just like get tired and go to sleep.
All right. So we got Noah Kelly just gave a quick, you know, it's pronounced like the word AIM because it's an acronym, not initialism, which is
this initialism bullshit.
No one knew what that was until fucking... this argument. I'm sorry.
Well, this email is pretty definitive. It says if you can pronounce it like a word, example, NASA, then it's an acronym. And if you say it like a word, if not, example, CPU, it's an initialism. And you just say the letters. End of story.
How about RIP? How about that?
Look, Leslie Nielsen's tomb, his grave says letter rip.
And the reason that's funny
is because it's not usually it's like that.
Well, it should say
wrong, much like that dude or
no,
person.
He was on our side.
Actually, Leslie,
wait, what did you say?
Leslie Nielsen's kids go to the graveyard and say rip Papa.
Yeah, rip Papa Nielsen.
Yeah.
That
you,
also
Papa.
Sounds like something from like a reggae song. Rip Papa Nielsen.
Rip Papa. All right.
There's not enough Leslie
we need,
Nielsen.
Okay, listeners, reggae. I was being shamed for my love of reggae before we started recording. Now we need another poll to avenge me. Is reggae good? Yes or no?
Welcome to
69%, the horny number, yes.
This is now a poll-based grievance airing podcast.
Welcome to poll time, everybody.
Week two, it's just, we need to just get an army assembled to make my point correct. Okay, all right, number two, we got Sean Fitzgerald. Just a quick one. He says it's because it was the immediate satisfaction era, the genesis of the era. We didn't have time to spell out AIM. We got to get it done. And then he ends the email with G2G, which is not really that much. It's actually harder to say than gotta go.
I'm sad he didn't put the WAV file of the door slam in, but I appreciate the attention to detail.
Yeah. I like G2G because it implies that he didn't even like close his laptop.
Yeah, it's just happened.
Gotta go.
That guy's a good, he should play football too. He has a good football name. Sean Fitzgerald.
Yep.
Yeah.
Brian Wolf kind of contradict himself at the end here. He says, my friends and I
great names.
Definitely called it AIM when we were chatting back in the day. It's way easier than saying each letter of AIM. I mean, people don't call GIFs GIFs. And then he responds at the end here. But they also don't call the CIA the CIA. So
that was one of those.
Didn't really stick the landing on that one.
You know when you commit crimes and get investigated by the Phoebe?
The Phoebe?
The
Friends.
The USA Phoebe?
The USA Phoebe.
Brian is looking forward to new apps, so thank you, Brian.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks, Brian.
You got a cool-ass name.
Madeline Olson gave us a whole thing here.
just a whole thing.
Pretty quick, the breakdown up top. Pronounce letters. NAACP, NCAA, CSI, AOL. Interesting. Pronounce phonetic word. NAFTA, DOMA, NAMBLA. AWOL.
Please don't send us emails with the word NAMBLA in it.
Yeah, I don't know. NAMBLA is
National Association of Man Boy Love.
Oh no.
Yeah, this is the one from like South Park,
But it's real. Yeah, it's like real. An advocacy group for pedophiles.
Did she just search like
I think it's technically like, isn't it like a Beba files? Isn't that what that isn't that more adolescent? Uh-oh. All right.
Uh-oh.
NSA. Sorry
about
that.
Yeah, a bit about that. My mom loves.
Anyway, so we got a quick breakdown. And it's basically the same argument. It's unpronounceable series of letters, despite including a vowel. And then AIM, because it's easy to pronounce, like DREAM, you know, like the DREAM Act, SIM, SIM card. There are exceptions. AARP sounds like a dumb seal sound, so you pronounce the letters. There doesn't seem to be a clear rule for this. This doesn't really back anyone up.
So you pronounce the letters for AARP? Is that true, Patrick? Because... Can we roll that tape?
I've seen the
ads. Can we roll a little
let's rewind here.
Yeah, let's roll a little pre-episode tape
God,
here.
I'm getting... Okay.
You don't say double ARP.
Yeah, you say ARP for some reason.
No, you don't.
They do in
no.
the ads.
Oh, my
she
God.
She says it in the ads. The head of the AARP. So if you don't know the AARP, you don't know ARP, which makes no sense.
But what else is she referring to?
Why aren't we rolling? Okay, perfect. Just wanted to clear that up.
Just cool. To be clear.
Okay. And then we got the last one is the longest from Evan Johnson.
How long is this? Like, if you had to guess pages.
It's like I'd say it's like at least 300 words. It's Evan from Winnipeg is how he signed off. Okay, let's see.
Winnipeg. Kind of like a Canadian abbreviation.
Yeah, well, AIM was before his time. Now, that's the thing. I mean, I feel like there's a breakdown, like, regionally. A lot of people, most people in college, when I was in college, from most places used AIM. But other people used MSN, which is, like, Microsoft Messenger, because that was, like, in some, you know, how, like, in China they use, like, totally different apps, and
sure.
Russia they use totally different apps.
Yeah.
It was, like, that kind of, it was, like,
WhatsApp
that kind of thing.
Stuff, right?
He apparently just says it was before his time. And... In my opinion, abbreviation should be proportional.
Well, thank you for your opinion.
If it
he's
was before
to,
your time, then you, this did not exist in your life. You can't
right.
just
well,
be like,
I'm sorry to roast you, Evan, from Winnipeg. I appreciate your 300-word email.
It's like me being like, well, the correct way to
this
play
is a pretty
Scott
compelling.
Joplin's music. I don't know. That wasn't... I don't... That's a weird analogy.
That's an extremely
the correct
weird
way to play
analogy.
Maple brain, Time Rag. Yeah, okay.
I'm like Jughead. I'm a weirdo. That's such a stupid.
This guy likes burgers. All right, so I think we settled that. I'm right. You guys can suck it, and let's get to the
suck
let's
it
get
upside
to the...
down at the same time.
Let's get this week's countdown. We got I think we got seven for you.
We
and,
do. We have seven this week.
All right, let's get going.
Number seven.
So number seven, relatively recent at the time of this recording. I think it was Monday. I found out from Twitter trending topics that Monday was National Boss Day, which is a day, apparently.
Finally, some recognition for the little guys.
Right?
That's great.
You know what? People don't appreciate their bosses enough. That's what I think. I would be cool with National Boss Day if it were just about Bruce Springsteen and Sasha Banks. I think that's fine.
Rick Ross?
Yes, sure.
Teflon Don.
Buy all of them edible arrangements. Fine. Don't get your fucking boss a present.
I would. I'm good. I like National Boss Day if it was like Taco Day or whatever, where everyone just posted pictures of their boss. I just got to check out bosses.
Well,
that would be fun. It's like on like people always make that joke on like Mother's Day or Father's Day. It's like, oh, your parents were like really hot, but like if you just post pictures of your bosses,
young pictures of your boss.
Okay, yeah. I'm back on board. You convinced me.
All right, so it's a horny day, so it's good. No, I the thing that's weird to me is that the idea that was trending on Twitter is strange because. Why does anyone want to know their boss to know that they have a Twitter account and
that's
what
true.
It is? Yeah. I don't want that. You know, hey,
I just
want
to take this
time. Just in case
time...
my boss is reading this, I want to say you're great.
Plus, everyone that's on there for work is like, these views do not they're not reflect my employer. Like, there's so much distancing from the work that I feel like it's not.
Yeah, it's like I just want to take this time out of my busy work day to get on a social media site that I should not be using during work hours.
There's also like a divide in the. In like when it makes sense to have like an appreciate. First of all, that's what the work is for. That's what that's like Mad Men. That's what the money's for.
Yeah.
Like that's what the work's for. Showing the appreciation. You know.
Also, it's appreciation for someone who has power over you at all times and can fire you at any moment.
Right. Yeah, it's an at will. Yeah, but like I get it a little bit when it's like I work at a smaller. My company's a little smaller, and like without the bosses that are like immediately above us, there would be no company because they started the company. You know, that makes sense.
Yeah, no, and like having a good boss is great.
Right.
Like, it's awesome. You should like.
And we did cards, and that's fine. You know, that's fine. But,
yeah, sure.
But if you work in like a huge conglomerate and you have the assistant regional manager's assistant, you know, is your boss. Who cares? You know, who's that? Like, what?
I also don't even do cards.
Thanks for being like, a different cog in the same machine. You know? Like,
no, you got to go straight to the top. If you work at Papa John's, you got to send fucking John Schlatter a card in his castle.
I actually think the most appropriate gift probably is an edible arrangement because that's more of a curse than a gift to give someone.
Then you're the boss is stuck with a bunch of honeydew.
Yeah, just rotting, flavorless honeydew. So, I take it back. That's the one acceptable gift. Otherwise, don't get him anything.
That's my new business is going to be partly edible arrangements, and it's some of it's real and some of it's fake fruit, and you find out. Just going to explore.
That's a fun game.
Like, the whole thing, just National Boss Day in general seems like it's like you're like an older brother, like putting you in a headlock and being like, say that I'm stronger than you. It's like, fine. Just stop. Leave me alone.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, I don't know. It's a holiday. It's designed, it seems like, for suck-ups, which doesn't really make like a sense that it's a thing that everyone would agree to.
It's definitely like whoever codified National Bosses Day. Not the little guy, not a worker.
Or it's just like, or it's just someone who always reminded the teacher that she forgot to assign homework.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Mrs. Reynolds, excuse me.
It's actually National Bus Day.
The bell hasn't rung yet. We haven't gotten our assignments.
Yeah.
Well,
and then it's even better if, you know, because how corporations always like do posts about these stupid Twitter holidays. Like, that's just such a horrific pit of like just a huge corporation also being like, respect the powerful. Like, it's just fucked up to have like Burger King be like, do not forget you are lower than others, stay down, eat burger. It's fucked up. That's my take.
Yeah, well, right.
So, well,
Boss Day,
happy,
number seven.
Happy National Bosses Day. All right, everybody.
Number six.
You know, I just want to do this, you know, personally, as a tribute to this guy. This is a story that I read over the weekend. This guy's name is Gilberto Escamilla, who was a employee at the... yeah, I said is, right? I didn't say was.
No, I just said rip.
His name is Gilberto Escamilla. No, so he was an employee at the Juvenile Justice Department in Cameron County, Texas. And he was caught after... let's see here. He left for the day. And a driver from the food service company that works, that's the vendor for the Justice Department that delivers all the food that they serve to the kids in the, called to verify an order that they're preparing to deliver, 800 pounds of fajitas.
Okay.
And the guy said, well, this has to be a mistake. That doesn't really, that's way too much. We don't need 800 pounds of fajitas.
They also know this, the guy who goes, we don't serve fajitas here.
Oh, you're right. I read it wrong. Well, okay, so yeah, so they don't even serve fajitas.
So not only is the quantity wrong, also the quality. So the stuff, the actual thing.
So like
we have too much of this thing we didn't need any of.
So the scam has simultaneously gotten bolder and dumber. Like it's kind of both at the same. All right, so here's your here we get getting ready to bring over this pallet of fajitas.
That is the correct unit measurement of fajitas.
Maybe even more than one pallet.
This is like a Longmont Potion Castle call.
Yeah.
You got 800 pounds of fajitas.
I got this truck full of gravel. I'm looking at a digital signature.
Yeah.
Bring it over here. I'll kick your ass. No, all right. So the employee responded, we don't serve fajitas. And then the driver told the woman, this is like a Longmont Potion Castle call. We've been filling this fajita order to the facility for 9 years.
I love that it ends in almost like the way a ghost story would.
Exactly.
It's like, you've always served fajitas.
Nobody's
on this very
here.
Night.
Yeah.
So
on dark nights, you can hear a sizzle. Into the air.
So this is, I'm just going to read directly from the article here. This is in the Daily Mail because I'm a pig and I read a terrible publication, but whatever. It's fun. Big pictures. The receiver of the call rushes off to the supervisor and conveys to her the discussion that it's had.
Rushes off.
And that breaks the case. So then they bring in law enforcement.
Stay right here. Yeah. I'll be back.
So when Ms.
Hello, boss. I hate to interrupt National Boss Day. We just got 800 pounds of fajitas.
The fajita truck is coming. We don't know what to do. And then, so he reports to work the next day. He's quote, confronted with the discussion, and he admits he had been stealing fajitas for 9 years.
800 pounds of fajitas for 9 years.
He was immediately fired from his position and placed under arrest. This is back in August. When police searched his home, they discovered his refrigerator packed with fajitas. Now...
Now, if it wasn't packed with fajitas, I would be more disturbed because that means he would have eaten 800 pounds of fajitas regularly.
I read the article also, and what it seemed to suggest, what he does is he gets these fajitas delivered every day, I guess on the expense of the correctional facility, and he has fajita orders like pre-established.
Yeah,
so
it's like a Ponzi scheme of fajitas.
Like, yeah, he comes in and like cooks all these fajitas. And then people show up that have reserved these crime fajitas.
He's running a fajita cartel.
I will say, as someone who lives in Texas,
that community episode.
He's a fajita kingpin.
This is like, yeah.
Also, fajitas, my experience as someone who's from the Northeast, fajitas come out on that thing and they're sizzling and like there's no like lead time between the fajitas. Like, fajitas don't exist as fajitas until they're on that
pan. They're not, you can't call them fajitas until they are on the pan, also, sizzling.
I've never heard the word fajitas this many times in a row, and it is a fantastic word. Fajitas!
No, but in Texas, like, there is a huge market for stolen meat. I swear to God.
Sure.
When I lived in Austin...
Those meat rustlers.
Exactly. I'm not kidding. Like, there was a multi-grocery store, multi-barbecue restaurant... stolen meat ring happening in Austin, and they had an undercover cop go and buy stolen meat, and that's how they disrupted the sting.
Yeah.
Like, there's a whole thing. And then also, I can guarantee that this guy, because I saw this all the time when I lived in Austin, you just go on like Facebook Marketplace and you're like, hey, I'm making fajitas. If you come over, pay me $5, you get some fajitas, you get some beans. Yeah. Enjoy yourself. I'm sure he just did that.
Do you remember there was like an underground grilled cheese guy in New York who got busted because he was just doing it like out of his apartment? That was like a thing in Williamsburg.
I remember those alcoholic slushy things though.
Yeah, that's But like same idea, like violating health codes, so like they come after you for that. But it's like having drug dealer without it being drugs.
The meat scam that in Austin, it was literally they would send dudes into HEB, which is like the big grocery store. They would like shoplift meat and then go meet in secret with people that own barbecue restaurants and like open the trench coat and show them all the cuts of meat. Yeah.
You got the stuff?
Yeah.
Exactly.
You got the money?
So this guy's just cutting out all the middlemen.
Right.
And
he had an operation going, but until they got to that part when I was reading the article and it just said his fridge was full of fajitas. I like that he was eating. Oh, he was just stealing fajitas and eating only fajitas. Like that was all he consumed, and he was just eating for free. Like like when somebody wins like a year's supply of something. It's like fine. I'll just eat only that for a year. That's it. That will be.
They're waiting for him the next day to come into work, and suddenly just the largest man alive, like sidles through the doorway sideways. Hey, what's going on?
Hey, what'd you bring for lunch today? Oh, fajitas again. Boy, you love fajitas. I sure do.
These aren't fajitas. These are just peppers and meats.
I'm just imagining. Like, again, because when you think of fajitas, you think of the sizzling plate. So the idea of someone bringing that is like a lunch from home.
Somebody takes out a brown bag and it's just sizzling. The truck sizzling when it pulls up.
No, somehow it's in like a big cooler and you open the cooler and it's sizzling like the...
Yeah. No, what they do is they take the truck, they take the back of the truck, and they heat up the bed on a fire for a long time until it's really hot.
And then they throw
a bunch of meat and onions and peppers into the hot truck and then drive it somewhere.
And there's a trailer attached to it that's the tortillas.
That's the tortilla warmer. I think this is a great business idea for us now.
The value of fajitas that he stole.
Yeah, I was gonna say that the total amount over 9 years, $1,251,578. Now that's how much he stole worth of food.
Yeah.
Presumably he was marking it up to some extent.
Yeah.
This guy is a kingpin. And I have a lot of and this is all at the expense of the carceral state.
Right.
This is all juvenile.
Yeah.
And look. So apparently the investigation revealed a, quote, total failure in the department's practice. I think that's fair if a guy's stealing 800 pounds of fajitas with some kind of regular. But I just, you know, I just want to say, you know, I got to give my respect to this guy. This is a one of the weirdest grifts I've ever heard in my life. Like, this is operating so at the margins in such a strange way.
It's
so
great. He shouldn't be punished.
He should get a parade or something. I mean, if you're on the jury, it's like, we're really going to put this is hilarious. How
he
can
should,
anybody,
yeah, just the rule him. Is he has to, like, leave his job at the correctional facility and open a restaurant.
Right.
And that's it.
If they didn't notice, it clearly wasn't hurting anyone. Like, I mean, you know, it wasn't like it was taking food out of the mouths of the kids in the juvenile facility.
Unless maybe it was.
Like,
he wasn't taking food out of the mouths of the people at that juvenile facility, but they don't serve fajitas there, and that sucks.
They could have had fajitas.
So they could have had fajitas.
You can't trust them with those pans, though.
Can't give them hot plates.
Those things are heavy. Those cast iron skillets.
Yeah. You're right.
Not allowed
to have
shoelaces or hot sizzle skillets.
So we managed to reverse engineer why they don't serve fajitas. Also, it's jail, really.
Just a
so
group of guys like what do you holding mean I can't someone have down, burning them with a fajita platter. I don't know. I don't think you should go to jail. Also, it's a statute of limitations on that. I don't know. What is it? Fraud? Is it smuggling?
I mean, it's theft.
Yeah.
I guess, but it's I don't know.
I'm not picturing.
You should be pardoned.
Shawshank, but they all have sizzling fajita panels. And it's like, I wish I told you, could tell you that Andy fought off the sizzling skillets. I wish I could tell you that. Anyway. Shout out, big time respect to Gilberto Escamilla. You know, help you.
Huge
your,
time.
If anyone listening can count how many times we just said fajitas and let us know, I would love that.
I hope it's 69.
Probably whoever
more.
Sent us that long-ass email.
Please don't include Nambo this time. Okay. All right, moving along.
Oh, next
number
up.
Five.
Number five. This is one that's just, it's so delectable. It's great. It's kind of already happened a little bit, but it just resurged because they let out, I think, a new trailer or something, or a new advertisement. So there's a new Wolfenstein?
Stein.
For Christ's sake. Like, I trust you. Get a poll going.
the guy who was right last time? Yeah,
right the wrong way. You know, okay. We'll figure out. Uh-huh. Wolfenstein, which makes it sound very Jewish. Wolfenstein.
I don't know, Wolfenstein
German.
Is like very
yeah,
Jewish.
Yeah, it's German. Right, but did you say Steinstein? This is great listening. Anyways, whatever it is.
Wolfenstein.
Yeah. There's a new Wolfenstein. I'm going with it. Ugh. Sounds right. New Wolfenstein coming out. Which, if you don't know, Wolfenstein is a classic game where you kill Nazis. Because that's fine. Because it's always been fine. Nobody... Are they... And so what's happening
is
that...
So much of our artistic canon is based on things where a hero kills Nazis.
Yeah.
That's,
because they were the go-to bad guy forever.
No one will have a problem with this. Let's kill some Nazis.
And then they, like, if anything, people are mad that, like, you're portraying Nazis as being like, oh, we can just kill them. It's like, well, what about the whole period of time where it was just like, they just changed it to, like, brown terrorists. And we're like, this seemed fine. But, like, Nazis, so, so what's happening is this game is where the Third Reich is taking over the whole world. I don't know the right words, but, and so Nazis control the U.S. And they're full Nazis. This isn't, you know... Like semantics, they got the everything. They got the armor, the fucking helmets, the
all the classics,
costume, the swastika armbands.
Famous
they got.
Nazis you know and love.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, classic. You know, you go to the store and buy a Nazi action figure. I don't know what store.
you go to the store and get a Nazi outfit.
You know, it's exactly what you would buy for your Halloween costume, where you go as a Nazi.
From all the documentaries that dads watch on Netflix,
Went to a gas station once in I think rural Pennsylvania. I don't know where it was. But they were selling, they had Halloween costumes, and one of them was a child's Confederate soldier costume. That was weird. They were selling that and illegal switchblades. And it was great.
If you're selling one, chances are you're also selling the other.
No, if you're selling one, it means that you sold all the other ones already. It went like hotcakes. I don't know. But people are mad because you kill Nazis in this video game. It was like... What are they like boycotting Indiana Jones? Do they think Indiana Jones is an unfair take on Nazism?
Yeah.
And it's like, they're not even and there's also a great part in the game that you can listen to where if you sneak around, there's like two Nazis literally having the like, by becoming violent, they're no better than we are, like doing that. But it's just, it's also one of those things where it's like, okay, it's how like all this like Gamergate, like alt-right gamer, it's like when, what's his fucking name, PewDiePie like yelled the N-word.
Mm-hmm.
And... it started with these people being like, look, we're not racist. It's not any of this. It's simply about ethics and gaming journalism.
Right.
Like that. And they're like, we're not that. And then they just kind of like got pushed further and further and got more of like whatever make-believe nuance there was to this position until they're now the guys that are like, look, the N-word is fine and you should not hurt Nazis. And it's just like, okay, well now you've made, now everyone knows what you're about.
Yeah. That's what's so exciting about this is like, they the whole thing that like a lot of the right, at least the like online right, get mad about is they're like, oh, people, liberals call everything a Nazi. Liberals call all of us Nazis. It doesn't matter what you do. We're all fascists. We're all Nazis. But then they're also like, but by the way, I am very upset with this unfair portrayal of my people, the Nazis.
Right.
Like,
so it's a in particular, the thing that set this off was Bethesda, which is the company that's developing Wolfenstein 2. They put out like just a brief little like 10-second teaser where it's just like, you know, like there's only one way to treat Nazis, and they just show the guy punching him. And then immediately you can go into the comments because it's super fun. You just look at the thread.
Yeah.
These people with like anime avatars and stuff are like, you know, oh, okay, great. Thanks for giving me a reason not to buy the game. You know, it's because because they view it as they're leaning into this like current sentiment of like it's okay to beat up Nazis, like punching Richard Spencer and shit like that. And to me, like, you know, but the thing that's fascinating to me is that if you see something about punching a World War II era, I mean, I know it's like in the 60s, the game, but it's based on like the World War II Nazis.
Again, your classic Nazis.
Right. Yeah. If you see that and you go, oh, okay, wow. If you feel targeted somehow, maybe you should take a second and be like, wait, hang on. What's going on? It's like that Mitchell and Webb sketch that everyone references all the time where it's like, have you thought about our uniforms? And it's like,
yeah.
Like, well, we have the skulls. Are we the baddies?
Yeah, and it's one of the best sketches.
That's,
I think,
it's one of the best things ever. And some guy got really mad at me. I'm not going to give him any credit.
On the internet,
he went into a whole thing and he posted a bunch of YouTube links to like, you know, father and son in Trump shirts attacked by Antifa mob. And that's okay. This is all, you know, whatever. I'm sure this is all very not selectively edited and all. But anyway, how brain dead? How fucking brain dead do you have to be to not understand the logic or lack thereof of a lynch mob? So apparently, we've gone from a video game to now we're just doing lynchings.
What happened to video games aren't real life?
Well,
and
that's the interesting thing about them because video games don't cause violence except for people that I don't like because then they'll be violent against me.
Yeah,
the level of like cognitive it's just
well,
insane.
It's just my points need to be
also
made
those lynch mobs. Hey, you guys remember that lynch mob that killed Nazis? The UN war crimes. Remember when they lynched those Nazis when they were?
And then this is in all caps. Why are you offended by dehumanization of not quote Nazis? Oh, hey, you are a fucking Nazi. This means you don't have human rights. This is all in all caps. And then I just searched through the guy's timeline to see who this guy was, you know, because I thought maybe he was like one of those both sides guys. This is replying in another conversation. Give me the exact quote where Richard Spencer advocates genocide. It's like, you're a Nazi, dude.
Congrats,
so you should
dude.
Get punched. You're right Nazi. To be afraid. Don't buy the game.
Right. That's the thing is like, if you see something that goes, hey, you know how you deal with Nazis? You punch them. And you go, oh, no, I'm going to get punched because of this.
Yeah, I mean,
it's probably because.
If you think all that stuff and you're worried about getting punched, I don't blame you for being worried. But if you're somebody who is like weirdly jumping in front of them because of, again, a video game, I don't really understand. You know, but it's great. It's clearly done knowing that it's pissing some people off. And it's not going to piss off enough people that are not going to buy the game. It's going to affect the sale of the game. And I welcome it. It's trolling, and it's making people the worst people are getting mad about it. So that's great.
It's also it's great. Like the cast said, like this is the video games thing. It's like watching like GTA 5 and being like, well, you shouldn't shoot pedestrians. But yeah, you also shouldn't do. But the whole thing is crazy. It's so stupid. And also, this is a thing that's constant. Where like I work as a community manager, so I like always reading like tweets from people, and these like alt-right idiots. Constantly, like with the website that I work for, like they always phrase themselves as like, are you willing to lose 50% of your readership? It's like, what, how many of you do you think there are?
Right.
Like, they think that they're like equally represented. It's crazy.
Well, they certainly overestimate how many people that like video games are also Nazis. Like there certainly are. Yeah. There tends to be a through line with a lot of this stuff. And I said Nazis. I shouldn't say Nazis because I'm doing what that guy who may or may not be a Nazi.
Who clearly his beliefs need to be respected because they come from a just purely analytical place.
Correct.
As we can tell.
The important thing to remember to sum it all up is that we should be careful not to dehumanize people whose entire ideology is that other people aren't human and need to be exterminated.
Look, all I want, is a white ethno state. It's like, yeah. Well, how are you going to get all the people that aren't white out of the state? Are they
maybe,
just going to go on their own?
Maybe they'll just leave.
Is it voluntary, voluntary deportation?
Yeah.
It seems like there would have to be some kind of threat behind that. Or no, is it just going to be? Yeah, that's the whole thing about Richard Spencer. It's like, that's how you pin him to the wall. It's like, hey, I'm not advocating violence. Okay, how are you going to get him out? They're not going to want to go.
Yeah.
What are you going to do to make him leave? Like, well, yeah, then you're. How can you say you're not advocating genocide then? Like,
Richard
go fuck
Spencer's
going
to go be fucking, what, 5'2" near them until they leave?
I hope he bought a jacket that fits.
So he is like, I sort of feel bad for him because I feel like this happened with Milo too. Both of those guys had like a very, very brief period in their lives where they were sort of good looking. And then they got a bunch of attention and have started just melting. They just, both of them are just, they're getting like weaker chinned and more sallow every time I see a picture of them. And I know they're just, I know they miss those glory days.
A lot of these,
it makes me really happy.
A lot of these master race guys could stand to do a master 5K once in a while.
Hey!
Oh, Zoom!
Coming from somebody who would probably drop dead if he tried to run. All right.
The stairs on the way up here are pretty tough.
Pretty rough. We're all wheezing still. All right.
That's number five.
Let's
Wolfenstein
keep it
Mad Nazis.
Number four.
That's number four. I don't really know how to intro this. It's just kind of an insane sentence to say here. But there's been a lot of talk about these Russian troll farms kind of interfering with social media and setting up sort of division in various hot button issues, posting memes and stuff, which I guess seem, you know, I don't know if they can really track whether anything actually led to any kind of, you know, changing in the electorate or any kind of voting or anything like that. It certainly pissed a bunch of people off, which I guess maybe is what the goal was. I don't know. There are people who I guess are swayed by unsourced memes and stuff on Facebook. There probably are a lot more than I would like to acknowledge. But apparently, as part of this master plan, you know, this troll factory in St. Petersburg, part of like the required viewing and stuff they had to learn to be able to destroy the American Republic here, it was to watch House of Cards to help them write messages that would influence Americans against their own government. So anything beyond season one is already kind of questionable. Anything beyond season one is like, let's just watch the dumbest possible depiction of American politics and use that to destroy everyone.
The reason I love this is because I feel like this means that the only people who think House of Cards is a true reflection of American society and American politics are Russian trolls and people who are completely obsessed with Russian trolls. And that's it. That's who likes House of Cards. It's like those insane Russia conspiracy theorists, Eric Garland dudes.
Yeah, people who do threads on Twitter.
Threads on Twitter and people who live to antagonize people who do threads on Twitter. Were they really wrong? They targeted the correct.
I mean, House of Cards, like, they don't even talk about issues ever in House of Cards.
Doesn't he just, like, full-on murder
it's
people?
Just,
yeah,
right.
Like,
it's just him looking in the camera being like, well, this is how you skin a cat, you know, and stuff like that. Like, this has nothing to do with...
Well, it looks like I've stumbled upon another House of Cards.
Right.
I have never seen House of Cards. I tried to watch it. There's really funny... My friend Joel made this, Joel Wachowski, a funny comedian, he made a video where it's like the House of Cards theme, but it's him singing over it, and it's just over, and I was like, it's a House of Cards. It's very good. But I tried to watch it, and this isn't about Russia or anything, I'm sorry, but like, it's the opening scene is him strangling a dog to death. And it was just I was like, what is this, a fucking, like, edgy student film that's like, ooh, it's pretty dark. Pretty dark
he
stuff.
He smothered the dog. I mean, strangling makes
it
seem a little bit.
He strangled it with his hands.
That's, you don't see him do it.
House
like,
of Cards is such a dumb show that I didn't even remember that happened because so much other dumb stuff happened.
Well, it's
if
like
you
cold,
walk,
that's
if
like
I walk up
open.
To somebody and wrap my hands around their neck until they're dead, I didn't smother them. Pillows are, like, smothering.
Well, did we show? Well, I don't know if we show. Well, whatever.
There's
okay,
going to be poles
so
all
strangles
over the
a dog.
Place next week.
So his name is Frank.
Frank Cards.
Dog Strangler Cards.
That's I think that's a Matt Chrisman Cushbaum joke that makes me laugh, calling him Frank Cards.
But it's just, I mean, like, it's all, like, stupid palace intrigue stuff. There's no politics that really, it's all, like, well, Senator, we'll meet here in the bathroom, and, you know, if you don't do this, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's just not very, it's just very, like...
I don't know
how that teaches anyone about American politics other than Americans, if they actually think this is what politics are like, are really dumb.
Yeah, like I wonder what the context of it being
it's like
used
mission accomplished
training material. But yeah, I don't know. A lot of it is very unbelievable. Clearly, it's nothing like how actual politics happens. But the thing that broke it for me, where I was like, I cannot suspend my disbelief anymore, was the scene where Kevin Spacey's eating pussy. I was like, this is not. This doesn't happen.
That's true.
Even a wordplay. I don't know. Anyways, just watch Seven. That has Kevin Spacey in it. It's pretty good.
Just watch K-Pax.
What if that was their training for affecting they thought they got elections?
Yeah, it's like when you BitTorrent the wrong thing, and it was like, it said House of Cards, but it was just Seven, and they're like, U.S. politics is crazy. This is wild. It's always raining.
That movie, I rewatched that recently.
Head in box.
What?
Head in box.
You're supposed to put the ballot in box. They vote with head?
Delightful.
Oh.
And then, I don't know. I mean, that's like, it's the kind of dumb joke you'd make. Like, the Russians all studying House of Cards to show how to, like, do, like, politics in, like, a sneaky way.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of thing you would see in, like, it's almost like an SNL skit come to life. It's, like, really bizarre. And similarly, another, like, this is sort of related. It's not on the countdown, but the guy who got released, it was a hostage with the Taliban, apparently. This is, like, straight up an SNL skit from, like, the 90s. I could see, like, Norm MacDonald, like, being this guy. Basically, like, said that when he was getting released, the Taliban guys made some comment about Trump being the president, and he thought they were fucking with him. He thought they were doing a bit. Like, I'm imagining him, like, in the back of, like the whatever, like, the Jeep or wherever, you know, he's blindfolded.
Yeah, and he's like, man, these Taliban guys have some arch satire.
He's like, soon you'll be home to President Trump. I was like, hey, these guys think Trump's the president. It's like, no, he's the president. It's like, are you guys doing a bit?
Yeah, and then in the SNL skit or whatever, he goes, take me back.
Yeah,
right. Boom, 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 back. Whoa.
I'm staying with you guys.
No, thanks.
There is that sketch where Norm MacDonald comes out of the coma. And, like, they keep like, oh, it's me, your wife. And he's like, you sure? You sure you're my wife? You sure it's not? He has amnesia. And he's like, you sure? You sure it's not her? It's like, no, I'm your sister. It's like, yay, you sure? You sure? So he's, like, trying to hit on the sister instead of the wife. Anyway, that's that guy. Yeah. Also,
I can't wait till Judd Apatow makes a movie about this guy.
Well, they had
his experience.
They had kids in, so they were in captivity. It's him and his wife.
A lot.
He's Canadian, I think, but she's American. But they had a crazy story
there.
So,
yeah, maybe this is like a diplomacy move.
It's
so
like
to
Seth
get
Rogen.
To fuck.
Seth Rogen is the guy and, who's like a really unreasonably attractive female lead. No, so they were in captivity being held by the Taliban. And at some point they decided they were going to have kids.
Did they decide they were going to have kids, or did they decide
they have more
we have
kid.
Nothing to live for in this world, let's have sex
well, okay,
with each
fine.
Other.
I mean, the way he couches it in the interview is...
He was like, I think now is really the right time for us to have children.
We thought we'd make the best of the situation.
Oh,
which,
really?
Which is like, I guess...
Okay, no, he meant...
We're going to bang.
Yeah, I thought we'd make the best
but also,
of the situation
like,
by fucking
the Taliban other. Has you in captivity. They're letting you bang your girlfriend while you're there?
Yeah, they're watching. Yeah,
I guess it's better than the stuff you hear about other people.
Like in The Simpsons where they put the cat in the TV, they just make them book big TV and then make them fuck inside of it and pretend they're watching porn.
Like ISIS is not going to let you bang your girlfriend. So you know, say what you want about the Taliban. You know, hey.
So wait, did they meet in hostage in captivity?
I think they no, they're already married.
Okay, they're already okay. Okay. Yeah.
Now that's
a story. That would be a crazy story.
I thought maybe it was like a meet-cute.
Sandra Bullock and Ryan Reynolds.
That's a questionable one. We'll see if that lasts, right? Give that a few years out. It's like, oh, yeah, it turned out when we had a choice of anyone else, we both chose other people.
Right.
Man, I've seen The Proposal more than so many other movies that I like better. I've seen that shitty Sandra Bullock, Ryan Reynolds.
That's where she like sexually harasses him into marrying her or something.
But it's like good or whatever. I don't know.
Cool.
Anyways.
You're trying to defend it now. You're like, no, but it's like good.
No, but everyone's good looking, so it's not, you know, it's cool.
It just popped in my head how many times I've seen that movie, and it's way too many.
Oh, the movie I've seen most by far in my life is 50 Shades of Grey.
Really?
Like, no question.
What?
Because,
that's only been out like 2 years.
Yeah, I've in Austin, I'm in a show called Master Pancake Theater, which is like a mystery science theater thing.
Yeah.
Four shows a weekend, 3 weekends a run. I've done that movie 4 or 5 times.
Jesus Christ.
And we had to write all the jokes for it. So I had to watch a bunch of fucking 50. Damn. I've seen that movie probably, I think a comfortable estimate is 100 times.
Jesus.
So would you say it's good? It's a good movie?
50 Shades
of
Grey?
You know, I feel like I have a lot in common with these hostages. You have to find something you like about it. The soundtrack is not bad.
And there's that Taylor Swift song, but that's for the sequel, right?
Yeah. Hmm. No, it's it opens
that's
with
the Weeknd.
It opens with an Annie Lennox cover of I Put a Spell on You. That's pretty good.
No, that's kind
of
fun.
I think the movie I've seen the most in my life is Airheads. Thanks to Comedy Central that's a good one. In the 90s.
Hell yeah.
And they played it every 10
Lone,
minutes.
Lone Rangers.
Just turn on Comedy Central. Oh, it's Brendan Fraser taking over a radio station again.
That's a good movie. I'm trying to think if I have one that stands out that much. Airheads is up there for me, though. Whatever it is, I probably have. It's probably Jaws. That's kind of a boring one. I mean, it's
I've
a great movie.
Jaws.
You know, what the
You've
fuck?
Never seen Jaws?
I haven't seen a lot of shit. I don't
it's on Netflix.
Okay.
You got to watch Jaws, dude.
Late entrance to this list for this week. Eli has never seen Jaws. Yeah. Number
fucking one. I don't
give
a shit. Well, it's fine. Y'all see it.
It's really good.
No,
I'm not going to see it.
Number three and
my
a
last
half.
Breath and be like, fuck you, Patty. Didn't see your shark
I never
shit.
Saw Jaws. I did it.
All right. Number three. That was number four. House of Cards, Russia.
Number three.
Okay, so this one's me again because we did it in weird order. It's my fault. This is another one of those. This is a trend that's been happening that is now hitting a fever pitch where it's just going to be like, I think it's just going to keep getting dumber and dumber until something has to happen. I don't know what it's going to be.
Until we all die.
Yeah.
It's just a downhill.
But this is so there was a lady on a Delta flight, and it landed, and there was a fallen soldier. They had his casket, and they were removing the casket, and she got the idea while the plane is parked, and they're doing they have like a little ceremony they do, and it's supposed to be kind of a somber occasion. She wanted to go around. She went around, I guess, or she at least kind of polled people somehow, and wanted to sing the national anthem while this coffin was coming off the plane.
So, hold on. Was this a commercial flight?
It was a Delta flight.
Do they just
put coffins on those?
Yeah. They what? Put soldiers go out to be deployed on regular flights.
Right, but I didn't know dead ones came back on them. That's different to me.
No, that's just cargo space is cargo space, I guess.
If you wait long enough at the baggage claim, they come out. That's very disrespectful.
Oh, boy.
This lady would not approve.
She would be really mad. So she.
Thank you for your service. I'm sorry.
So her thing is that, she's like, just to show respect.
So, yeah, but okay, this was just like a regular flight. They were like having like a solemn moment.
They're presumably in the seatbelt sign, and like the acknowledged thing that you do is you just quietly sit and reflect. You think,
sure.
Maybe you think about, the sacrifice and all that. And she wants to start singing the national anthem, or she's starting to like rally the, hey, let's do it. And the flight attendant's like, can you please be quiet? Like, we're not supposed to, and she pushed it a little further, and allegedly, according to her, the flight attendant said something along the lines of it could offend people from other countries, which sounds like bullshit to me.
Yeah. That's
not a thing that makes any sense to say. So I don't think anybody said that.
That's like when I was working at Trader Joe's, you just say shit to get somebody out of the store.
Right.
Just be like, you're making the fucking melons uncomfortable. Yeah. You got to go.
No, I'm saying I don't even know that the flight attendant said that. Because
that is
such catnip for like getting the Daily Caller and those stupid websites to be mad about, like, oh, the PC police won't even let you sing the anthem for the troops, which is, But so
we were going to play the video, but she talks slow.
She takes
shit.
A long time. And she's clear. Like, it's just like, look, why are you making this about you?
Yeah,
you
that's know? The thing.
And she's one of the first things she says in her Facebook Live video or whatever she did is like, my name is blah, blah, blah. I'm a physician. My husband was, served, 20 years of his life. He didn't die. He didn't die in action, but he's since passed away. I don't like attention. I don't like this. But, and then here's this whole thing. And she refers to this as not, I guess, insisting on singing the anthem and getting thrown off the plane during the ceremony, or whatever you want to call it, the ritual, whatever it is.
Wait, she got thrown off the plane?
No, she didn't.
Okay.
She sat down and didn't make
so
a stink.
Who fucking cares?
Well, she made a whole thing and it got picked up by like the hail and stuff. So
can you imagine?
This stuff would just die though too. This is part of why shit is so stupid is because it's like nothing fucking happened. That's like a couple years ago, that would just be a story that a couple people on a plane would be like, hey, there's this weird woman. But now she makes a fucking Facebook Live or whatever.
What it is,
publications pick it up.
It's like what it is it allows people who are looking for a reason to get pissed off get pissed off hypothetically, and they get to be like, oh man, if I was there, you know what I would have done? It's like people who get like riled up thinking about what they do to like kids who were talking at the movies. Like, if those kids don't shut up, I'll tell them to kick their, you know, it's like the dumbest stuff. And it's like, hey, look, you know, I respect the troops and we should be able to sing. It's like, first of all, when isn't the national anthem doesn't get sung at military funerals? It's not a funeral song.
Yeah,
it doesn't
it's
make
not
any
a
sense.
Fucking baseball game. Right. Like, sit down. That's what's, can you just
it's
have,
so disrespectful, and it's also like
the fact that this is even a story is disrespectful to the guy that died.
Can you imagine,
you know,
though, being on a plane and just hearing from behind you somebody starting to sing the national anthem and then being shushed?
Also, the national
anthem. It would be the funniest.
It's got a great, comedically, it has a great start, because this is, I'm not going to, it's like, oh, just like, what the fuck? You know?
It's
like, Robert, it's like, is the ghost of Robert Goulet back there? What's happening?
It's like the Tom, it's like, what of the, like, what's new Pussycat? Just like, starts great, very funnily.
Well, it's also like the, it's a hard song to sing, and most people can't sing, so it would be butchered terribly.
Right.
It's not like God Bless America, which is like a pretty simple
song.
It
is more disrespectful to sing the national anthem badly than to not sing the national anthem.
I think that's correct.
That's like, it's the equivalent of like American flag thongs or something, where it's like, it's up your butthole. Why is this respect? Like, how are you honoring anything?
And
I just want to know if she was going to hold the free like they do at baseball games.
I like to think this is actually just...
Everyone's like, play ball. Wait, no, it's dead. It's dead soldier.
Exactly.
It's dead troop. It's
play ball in heaven, sir.
It'd be rad if she just like
playing ball with the other troops in heaven.
It'd be really rad if she just like sang taps. Like she just
she pulls out a fucking French horn.
but this is the whole thing, and I'm sure I didn't look around, but I'm sure it's now spread to all the usual suspects, and they're all ginning up, you know, the usual crap. But hopefully not. If I'm wrong, I'd like to be wrong.
Because it is like you said, like that thing of, they said it might offend people from other countries.
Oh, I'm sorry. Does patriotism offend you? You know, it's
so,
like, dude, no, this is gross. Don't sing anything. Don't sing, you know, I can't think of a song. I'm not good at improv.
I know somebody who got in one of these cycles once a while ago. He made up a story about how he was beaten up because he had a Trump lighter. And his whole thing was that he was a gay Trump supporter.
Oh, hell yeah.
He is not gay. does not like men, a straight person.
Why did he do this?
I guess because he likes attention.
It's like, it's like the girl who carved the backwards B, or like the black guy's, or the
like
Black's
that.
Rule guy.
The Black's Rule guy is my
Black's
absolute
Rule is the best.
Favorite.
there was also the guy who like said he got like stabbed because he had like the haircut. And he was in like a Whataburger parking lot or something like that. And then it turned out he stabbed himself.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That sounds familiar.
That was like,
there was
this
also
is
a guy that
recent.
Shot himself accidentally, right?
Just injuring themselves.
So it's all
also what? If you get stabbed in a Whataburger parking lot, like that's because you were in a Whataburger
here's
parking
the
lot.
Solution.
There's no reason.
Give all of them knives and just stab themselves to death.
Right. But so she's like, you know, whatever. This lady is now a martyr to the cause. She'll probably get invited to the White House to sing the national anthem or something. If they're any good at like weaponizing, if they're as good as the game they talk at weaponizing this culture war crap, if Bannon was still in the White House, she'd be singing the national anthem before the next whatever stupid thing they're doing.
I kind of want that to happen just so we can hear whether she's good at singing.
Yeah, she's not good at singing.
Oh,
I'm
absolutely
willing
to bet. Not. And if she sings as slow as she fucking talks, the thing's gonna take 2 hours.
Yeah, and the other thing is like this has become, I can tell it's becoming a trend because, I saw another thing and I didn't put this on the actual list that we were talking about in advance, but. There's a coal miner who the video went viral of him and they're all in their coal mining gear and they're about to go down to the mines. He sings the national anthem and there was a thing that was like, no kneeling here or something like that. Like, take that, NFL, I guess. We're going down to the coal mines and we respect the troops. I don't know. I'm not clear on what, you know.
Also, someone sing the national anthem while descending into a mine, you're 100% dead.
Also, like, coal mining, like, that sucks. Like,
that's so grim.
But those are, like, coal miners are, like, the huge, because Trump's, like, that's what we're going to do. We're going to bring back coal.
Do you know how many coal mining jobs there are as of 2014? There
fucking
were
eight.
There were 70,000 coal mining jobs. That's less than a decent-sized town. Why is this taking up so much of everyone's?
That's, like everyone that went to my college.
Right.
It's like,
I just think that, like, we as Americans...
They can't even fill the big house. 70,000 people.
Yeah.
We as Americans need to have... We need some consensus on when you sing the national anthem. Like that, like you don't sing the national anthem before you start working in the morning.
I'm actually, like, I'm going to go on record here. I'm going to
say
I'm outraged because they wouldn't let me sing the national anthem into the order mic at Arby's before I picked up my food. And I'm going to call down all the forces of darkness from the right-wing internet onto Arby's.
I sing it at the drive-thru window every time I order something.
Before you order, sir, can you please?
I was just talking about this with someone the other day. One of my favorite, I hate when people do like waitress bits or whatever when you're like ordering and someone tries to be like funny with the waitress. But the only funny one I've ever heard is my friend Joe Barlow used to do it where they would take your order and he would say, "I'm pleased to announce that I will be having," and then you give your order. I just want to like put that out. More people should do that. It's very fun.
That's a good one.
I always feel that, but I feel like we did one in college where we all went to Red Robin, which is just already the funniest restaurant to do shit at.
Anything at.
And we had some of those like Halloween style like massive Coke bottle glasses that like magnifier, and we just pretended that we all needed them to read the menu. So we'd pass this or, whoa.
Yeah, and you do the thing where you like bring the menu really close to your face and then really far away from your face.
It was pretty good. And then we all pretended to be asleep.
I had a long running bit with my friends, half of whom were like married and have kids now, so this will never happen. And like would die from drinking as much as we're considering. But we were all gonna buy those like $2 for $50 Times Square suits, but like buy them really big, like big double dressed and cheap suits.
Like, where's this going?
And then like in a big group of just like a big group of assholes in these big cheap suits. And then just like go out to bars and clubs in these big stupid suits and just act like complete morons and like destroy the clothes because it doesn't matter, never wearing these again. And just like, "Hey, what out here? We got these suits. What do you think?" You know, like just talk like mob guys, you know, like. So anyway, there's, and look, this is not to, the goal was not to hassle anyone who works there. Let's be clear. It's more to just do a weird performance art thing for ourselves.
It is like, I will say anything that gives you the license to be annoying in public is incredibly liberating. Like, look, we're all comedians. Our natural enemy is bachelorette parties, right?
Yeah.
One time, I've never even been in a bachelorette party, but one time I went as a bachelorette party for Halloween, and it was the most fun I've ever had because you just get to scream at people and, like, be incredibly annoying and, like, force people to buy you shots and wear penises on your body. It's great.
Yeah.
It's the most fun.
That's like, I went to a bachelor party in Vegas. Going to a bachelor party in Vegas. The reason Vegas is great is because you can just be a dickhead.
Yeah.
And you just get to be a dickhead for it. And that's why it only takes, because we talked about it. It's like, what, like a day and a half?
36
and then
hours.
You want to go home. 36 hours. And you want to go home. It's just, you just go fly there and you just act like a dickhead for 36 hours. And then you go home. We did all the shit that I make fun of. We got a cabana at the pool and like, you know, all that. The one good bit from that I'll stand by, I can't find the picture, but I made, they were like, because it's Vegas and there's like the Palms or something, they have like women that are dancing on like tall pillars. And I asked one of them to take my picture. So I have this picture from like a very great height of me with my friend. And they were like, they were standing there, was like shooting people with squirt guns. I was, "Can you take my picture?"
That's okay. Well, just to close the loop on the coal miners.
That's what we're talking about.
I was like, how do we get to, okay. Because I was saying the shitty suit night thing, I was like, I don't even know how I got to here. And I respect this because this guy has now started a GoFundMe to record an album because he has a pretty good voice. I listened to some of the video. So he's going to start like the right-wing grift of like, you know, hey, if you support like America, you will buy my stuff.
I like the idea of just recording an album of just the national
anthem. I call patriotism.
He'd be a big time dummy if he didn't record it and get it up on iTunes in the next like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
$1.29, whatever, you know, like people will buy it. You know, that's still the easiest thing in the world.
The idea of someone singing the national anthem as they descend into a mine with their voice getting like guys, quieter and quieter.
Can we do like a Bandcamp and sell a Pay What You Want album of just the three of us? It's yeah. three tracks and each one is one of the three of us singing the national anthem.
Yeah, I think that's...
Oh man, bonus content.
Yeah.
Love it.
This is...
we have been talking about this forever.
Okay.
Yeah, let's keep going.
So that's it. National anthem. It's going to be everywhere. It's going to be crazy. Yeah. It's going to be the song of the summer, national anthem.
Song of the summer is the national anthem.
Summer jams.
Number three, Delta Lady.
Number two.
Okay, so number two. Honestly, we got a lot of stuff out of this week. I was a little worried because everything in the media is still just about fucking Harvey Weinstein. Like, everything.
Literally fucking Harvey Weinstein.
Literally.
Whoa.
Well, not really. Okay, never mind. I'm sorry, everybody. I'll put up the notes, Apple Notes apology later.
Yeah. Get your pace bin together. Yeah. Come on, man. But yeah, and most of it is just horrible and sad and gross and makes everyone angry. But there were two... The best thing that happens anytime a famous person gets busted for this is that other famous dirtbags say insanely dumb shit about it, and it's very entertaining to me. So the two that I think were the most ridiculous and the funniest, the first was Woody Allen, what genius asked Woody Allen what he thought about this?
Hey, Woody,
why did he pick up the phone? How was he not like in a bunker underground? Like, how does he not like, all right, they're coming for me next. Like, it's happening again. Yeah. I need to go to the moon or something.
This is a good use of, like, what the, like, he's running out of time. He's like, does he not have a
publicist? How was another one between?
Who would take him as a publicist and be like, wow.
He definitely has a publicist.
Somebody who, like, loves a challenge. Yeah. Somebody who just is bored. My phone just started talking. I think it might be Woody Allen talking. I wanted to read the actual quote.
Oh, it's one of those fucking pivot to video goddamn things.
Yeah.
That's cool. Don't you guys love watching video on your phones instead of reading articles? I like it because you can do it at work without being conspicuous. I think that's cool.
It's great for the subway for me personally.
My favorite is when it's a surprise and it just all of a sudden happens.
Because to me, in terms of viewing the content, when it's a surprise and I stop it the second I can stop it, I think that counts as much as somebody who wanted to watch it. So you should definitely count those statistics as the same.
When somebody asks me where I get
and build
my
an
news.
Entire industry around
this. When somebody says, where do you get your news? I go, HuffPost Live. Exclusively. And I never hit play. I just like to stream.
You know when a video could be like, it could be like a 100-word article that gives me the story, but instead it's a 4-minute video with one line at a time at the bottom of the screen.
Yeah.
That's really how I like to consume
things.
That's
good.
Because I'm like a baby in a crib, and I don't like to, it's too many words in one place is too hard.
Yeah.
And also there are millions of me that exist and will keep the media industry doing video afloat for the foreseeable future.
Yeah,
definitely.
And me, like many educated adults, my reading speed is slower than the average human's talking voice.
That's
so
correct.
It's just more efficient for me personally to
get the news. Audiobooks are crazy for me, how fast they go.
I slow those down to half speed just because I'm like, whoa, you know, feels like being on a roller coaster.
Anyways. To see how long that could go.
Probably longer.
We got him.
I think we sort of agreed to get
two comedians destroy.
It's
pivot
done.
To video.
It's Take done. That. Video's over. They're going to stop making movies now, actually, because of that.
That's fine.
More
Hollywood, Hollywood's pivoting to video.
But yeah, Woody Allen said he warned about a witch hunt atmosphere where every guy in the office who winks at a woman is suddenly having to call a lawyer to defend himself.
That's like if everyone in a village turned into a fucking newt and someone was like, let's not go on a witch hunt. I was like, well, you should. This is what that is. You need to do that.
That's also,
clearly,
also,
there's a witch involved.
It definitely has the tone of, hang on, fellas. Let's talk about this.
Whoa.
Let's not get into a witch hunt atmosphere, said a witch.
Yeah.
That's exactly also, what you said.
Like, let's not worry about who's been stealing all these gold coins, he says, like gold coins pouring out of his pockets.
Yeah, you know what? And also, like, using the expression witch hunt is especially insulting because, like, the witch hunts were just, like, women who didn't do everything you were supposed to do in Puritan times. So they were all witches. Like, that's even
more
insulting.
Women that had superpowers at, like disagreeing it's with like, men. Like, wow, she's some sort of sorceress.
She talked back, throw her in the river. You know, it's just...
Throw her in the river, and then if she floats, drown her again.
Yeah, if she floats, you burn her, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's... And also this canard that... oh, it's going to turn into, if you wink at me, I'm calling a lawyer. Like, that's not, what are we, we're on a very, we're at a very high bar for what we're talking about here.
I really resent this quote for making me imagine Woody Allen winking. I don't like that.
He's kind of is already, right? Like, his,
when his glasses are off, he's definitely winking with both eyes because he's like Milhouse.
Yeah.
He's extremely Milhouse. So that, Woody Allen is really good.
But, like, Woody Allen's whole game right now, you know, in terms of like not getting attacked in the street or whatever he seems to be worried about, is just don't talk about anything. Just shut the of all people, of all people, you gotta. He's on playing with house money right now. Like there was that like brief swell. It was also Ronan Farrow for obvious reasons, actually, in that case. Yeah. Like there was like, oh man, Woody Allen's gonna go down. Like shit's gonna happen. You know, but he's still got the Amazon show now. He got through it, whatever you want to call it. And the PR firestorm ended. And, you know, like, he's still married to his former stepdaughter and all this insane shit.
Yeah.
And just live on it. Go play the clarinet at the Campbell apartment or whatever, you know, once in a while. Or the Pierre or whatever, wherever he does it. And I guess keep making movies if people will make movies with you. But, you know, like, dude, shut up. Don't weigh in on this.
This is, like, why I'm always baffled why anyone, like, the one that I think of a lot because it seems like it comes up a lot, and it's only because somebody asked, is like, why is anyone famous responding to a question about whether women are funny? Like, why do that?
Yeah.
There's no good way to answer it.
Right.
It only will serve to make you look incredibly stupid. But people keep being like, no, I think I've figured this one out. I think I have a good theory.
Like, just say yes.
Yeah, like,
I think Bill
Why are you asking me this?
I think Bill Burr, but somebody finally did that, and someone asked him on like, tried to get him on like a red carpet, and they're like, shut the fuck up. Stupid question.
Yeah.
Like,
stupid. Yeah.
Don't make me do this. Yeah.
Don't make me do this. Geez. Yeah. Oh, I mean, obviously, the correct answer is just like, of course, but also,
right.
Yeah, that's
people want to elaborate and give some weird theory about like, evolution or something. It's like, just fucking stop,
like this,
man.
Like this Woody Allen question, like only makes sense that they got an answer unless if it was delivered at the point of a bayonet. You know what I mean? If he was like up against a fireplace and somebody had the fire poker and was like, "What do you think about this Harvey Weinstein thing?" It's like, "All right, I'll tell you. Fine."
Also, what are you worried? Like, like you said, everyone already knows all the fucked up shit you did. Like,
and you still are rich.
Yeah, it's like you're like, we don't want anyone to get in trouble. It's like, motherfucker, you didn't get in trouble. And you did all this.
And
shit.
People that like Woody Allen, like. I mean, like, I, as somebody who I think Annie Hall is great, I don't know if that's a hack opinion or not. I really like Annie Hall a lot. Like, it's not, Manhattan's a weird one because of the subject matter and all that stuff, but Annie Hall, he's not like a going after a teenage girl. I think it's like a pretty funny movie. I think it's a well structured movie, but whatever. As someone who likes an occasional Woody Allen thing, I don't want to be reminded of Woody Allen, the guy. You know what I mean? Like, you make it a lot harder for people that like your work.
Right.
If you're a person out there giving interviews about anything to do with anyone's genitals, you know what I mean? Just like, keep it to yourself, dude. I don't know.
Well, also, there's an even...
All of this stuff, it's like, it's crazy to me that like, not only is R. Kelly still like cool, but his music is like bar mitzvah, like bat mitzvah anthems. Yeah. And it's like, why are you playing the song of a man who urinated on an underage girl at a party for your daughter becoming... like a teenage girl.
I mean, it's the artist art debate, right? I mean, you know, remix to Ignition is amazing.
Like,
you know?
All of the...
For a long time, I was like...
You hate that song?
I don't. I really don't like the remix.
Weird.
Ignition.
For a long time, I was like, this song is so good that I will listen to it even though R. Kelly's clearly a monster.
Right.
And I finally have... I'm like, no. Nope.
Music is almost a little tougher because music is...
I like Crimes and Misdemeanors. I think it's a good movie. Yeah. I think it's also definitely about Woody Allen wrestling with the morality of molesting a child.
Right.
But like...
Right.
But anyway, I want to talk about this other thing because there's an even more insane hot take about Harvey Weinstein from everyone's old friend, Sebastian Gorka, who's... Twitter name right now is Sebastian Gorka Dr. G, which I enjoy.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't he just be Dr. Sebastian Gorka?
Nope. Sebastian Gorka Dr. G.
I've been blocked for like 2 years.
Yeah. I just enjoy any man with a facial hairstyle that looks like it was landscaped. It was just like,
dude,
he does kind of have like pickup artist facial hair.
He also has the biggest head of anyone I've ever seen.
Well, that's why
every
he's
one
famous.
Of those pictures. I know he's got like... I know it looks like he's like standing a little bit in front of them while he's standing next to them, But his head is like legit twice the size of anyone else's head in any picture.
You know how Larry Flint's offering like $10 million for impeachable info on Trump?
Yeah.
I want to offer a similar amount just for a video of Sebastian Gorka trying to put on a football helmet. Trying to get
Sebastian
his
Gorka
big ass melon
storming
in
out of angrily storming out of a lids.
Can either of you guys do a good Gorka?
Not really. I don't want to insult James Adomian, the GOAT.
Shout out to him. I saw him on Friday at Caroline's, and he was super funny. Obviously, if you're listening to this, I'm sure you already know that. But I wish I had his phone number, because I would bother him right now and make him read this tweet in his wonderful Gorka voice. It's amazing. So this tweet, first of all, it starts, think, colon.
Yep.
Okay.
Line break. Not even think, colon, and then the rest of the tweet. Think, line break. If Weinstein had obeyed VIP Pence's rules for meeting with the opposite sex, none of those poor women would have ever been abused.
Ah, yeah.
I saw VIP Pence. So Pence has.
Did
a
I say VIP? Pence, I meant VP.
Pence has a table in the behind the velvet rope.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But no women are allowed
table,
to sit at it.
A table, and it's one of those bottle service things, but just has a carafe of whole milk.
Yeah, it's just milk. Someone brings him seltzer. He's like, spicy. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, that would be good. Yeah. If only Harvey Weinstein had been in some sort of male-only facility that you can't leave.
That allows you no
there.
Access to women.
Yeah, something like that, where you can get fajitas.
We've also established a very important dichotomy here, where apparently the conservative view of men is that any man who is around a woman who is not his wife turns into Pepe Le Pew.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And is a complete like lunatic who can't control himself.
The cartoon wolf whose tongue rolls out of his mouth.
Right,
and
he turns into the Tex Avery wolf.
Who slams his fist on the table.
And his heart becomes a thumping drum.
And then they have to roll the tongue back up and put it back in their mouth.
I mean, it's completely insulting to the idea of any adult in any situation. It's just like, so you have no impulse control. That's what just because the president's a dumbass who has no impulse control doesn't mean that I know Gorka like probably has a poster of him above his bed or whatever, you know, and thinks he's cool. But like, and this idea that Pence clearly has a very healthy relationship where he calls his wife mother.
And
that's about like the 40th reason that Mike Pence isn't going to assault a woman.
It's just so funny because it's like the whole, like basically the whole like argument for Mike Pence's sort of like philosophy on this is basically like, yeah, women shouldn't work with us. Like
right.
we should not, I should not ever be in a situation where I'd have to be alone with a woman, which you have to do all the time for work.
Yeah.
And like,
right.
I have to
like
be,
you
I have
can't
to,
get anything done.
I have to be
good luck
treated,
advancing in your career.
Yeah.
I have to be treated like a fucking beta fish, like a Siamese fighting fish, in that nothing can be in my bowl or I will destroy it.
Well, like
it's just such one of those like perfect cognitive dissonance moments of the same people who are pushing hashtag not all men. They're like, not all men are bad guys. And at the same time, they're like, look, if I'm in a room with a woman, it's going down. Like,
look out.
Yeah. We are, you know, not all of us are bad, but also we are all.
But also, if you give us literally any leeway or trust, we will abuse it.
Right.
So,
whoa.
Fuck you.
She showed me your shoulder. What was I supposed to do? Come on.
It's just like, I don't know. I find that's like that whole idea so insane and frustrating because it's like, I feel like even in comedy, like that idea has like held me back, like, and holds me back of like, you can't, like, you can't just like go out with a dude and like talk shop the way that like a lot of my male comedy friends can, where I'm gonna go to dinner with this more successful comic and he's gonna help me out. Like, you can't do that when you're a woman, and it sucks, and it's like a huge bummer. And
I think it definitely affects like road stuff too. Like,
absolutely.
Like, now just they're like, well, I don't want to hang out with a girl all day in the car. Like, that's super true.
Yeah, and like
we can't share a hotel room, you know? Like,
right. It's like, oh, it's too expensive, or like, and I know that a lot. Like, it's not even necessarily like ill-intentioned or anything, because it's like, oh, well, you know, like, I'm married, and if I brought a woman on the road, and I was like, yeah, like, I get why it doesn't always come from this place of like men need to be like caged all the time,
right?
But it's just like, I don't know if there's a way around it, and it's really frustrating. And this insane hot take is
chastity belts,
old
school, like in Robin Hood Men in Tights, that kind.
Eat a bunch
like,
of
clunk.
Graham crackers, right? Wasn't that what they were invented for, to keep people from getting horny? I think
that
was what. Yeah.
No, that was cornflakes.
Oh, it was cornflakes?
Cornflakes,
I knew it was
yeah.
something. Okay.
What?
Dude, that was like a whole thing. I think yeah. Adam runs everything to something out of two. Cornflakes were... So Kellogg...
yeah, Kellogg was like super religious. That's
he's crazy religious. He wanted people to stop fucking cranking off. And that's also why he pushed circumcision so much, was because circumcision makes masturbation feel not as good. So he'd be like, let's snip those tips, baby. Rip those tips.
Rip to those tips.
Yeah.
There we go.
Dead and gone.
We're back.
Full circle.
Go to our big cartel, our merch. You can get our national anthem album and
our fajitas.
Our fajitas and yeah. your rip those tips anti-circumcision protest.
Yeah,
signs.
I'm gonna do a startup and disrupt the fajita.
The fajita game.
I will say also before we move on, this Sebastian Gorka take. He's like fairly ratioed, I think. He has 5,019 responses to this.
Well, it was
which is like pretty good.
It was something that everyone made fun of. Like when the Pence thing came out, the same way that when like David French refused to allow he and his wife had like a joint email account and he wouldn't let her do any emailing while he was on deployment in the military because
what the fuck?
He thought like she'd fall in love with somebody over email or something like that. It was completely and it's like
his wife
what,
fucking Meg
what are these
Ryan?
all these wife emailers out
these
there?
These guys
you gotta
I mean,
be careful.
I mean that's like David French treating his wife like a pet parakeet where like if you open the door she'll get out, you know, or something, which is insane.
She's gonna go in an AOL chat room and
yeah, like I treat her good, you know. No, but and I'm not saying he's keeping her captive, but it's just like, what do you mean? The second she has a chance to like look around, she'll be like, oh man, I gotta drop this loser. Holy shit.
And that's really the vector too. It's like, if you're gonna control one aspect of her life, it should definitely be email, the
yeah.
way that
yeah.
we all meet when, our partners.
Don't email my wife.
On his way out, he nails the mailbox shut so she can't get any fucking love letters.
I know they're coming.
Well, yeah, that was number two. I feel like we covered it
yeah.
pretty thoroughly.
And here we go, folks.
And this week's number one reason to say what a time to be alive.
Hey, everybody. So I don't know if you guys are familiar with the new cinematic experience, Snowman. It's called The Snowman or something. It's some sort of serial killer movie with Michael Fassbender in it, where I assume it kills people and turns them into snowmen. I've just found out, and I think it's important to share it with the world because no one's talking about it. This is hat tip to Willie Muse, coworker. Very funny. I think his Twitter account's Willie Silly too. He found this out and posted on Twitter.
Willie Silly too.
That's a great one. That Michael Fassbender, the protagonist of Snowman or whatever the movie's called, his name in the movie, his character's name, is Harry Hole. Just for real. That's what it is. Like, I think it was a book before that. So someone wrote a whole book, and every time he walked in a room, they were like, Harry Hole entered the room. And at no point were like, this is dumb. And I think it takes place outside of the U.S., and I know there's at least a couple places that refer to detectives. He's a cop. Mr. Police, in fact. As... investigators. So there's a good chance that he might be referred to as Investigator Harry Hole, which is just a full dirty sentence that Austin Powers would say. Anyway, that's number one. Do you guys have anything to add?
I feel like you covered it. I'm glad we're spreading awareness about this.
Harry Hole,
folks. So there you have it, number one.
What order do you think he thought of Harry, and then he went Hole? Or do you think he's like, well, his last name's Hole?
I'm thinking about the screen.
First name Harry.
The screenplay is fun to think of because it's in all caps every time.
Yeah.
Harry Hole.
Sounds like somebody yelling it during all the stage directions.
My wife got turned into a snowman. Get me Harry Hole.
Is that a get me Harry Hole like a pirate? Get me Harry
get
Hole.
Get me Harry Hole.
Okay, so that's
it's me, the mayor of Snowman City. And I'm here to present a medal to Harry Hole. In fact, I'd like to pronounce this Harry Hole Day for the rest of time.
We're all just doing that same noise. The satisfied don't want to do X-Y's. Okay, well that was it, guys. you know, we're on iTunes, we're on Stitcher, we're on SoundCloud, we're on Overcast, we're on all the anywhere you can get podcasts.
Yeah, and if you can, if you like this the podcast, make sure to review and rate, because that helps us a lot with that hot hashtag content reach.
Especially
baby.
If it's 5 stars on iTunes, that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah. Please do.
We're on Twitter at WhatATimePod. I assume there will be several grievance-based polls established after this. And we're also on Instagram, same thing, at WhatATimePod. Nothing on there yet, because I think we forgot to do that, but we'll probably start posting something there at some point. And so I guess we'll see you next week.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye.